Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We are joined by Frank Calzone, one of our duty experts on matters involving our hemisphere, specifically with respect to the nature of and future prospects concerning Cuba, a land he fled during the early days of the Castro takeover there and has worked ever since tirelessly to try to liberate from the communist regime of first Fidel and now Raul Castro. He is doing that these days as the executive director of a terrific organization, the Center for a Free Cuba. And we've been anxious to catch up with Frank to talk about the latest developments concerning what somebody in Cuba, presumably with at least the connivance, if not the direct involvement of the Castro regime, has been doing to our diplomats. Frank, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Welcome back.
Thank you for inviting me.
So what is the latest? We've been talking about this story for a bit with you, Frank, but it seems as though the number of diplomats who have been afflicted and the damage that has been done to them becomes more severe by the day. Is that the case?
Well, more and more information is coming out. Apparently now, not only diplomats, but other American tourists have been affected. The administration has put a warning alerting Americans about several hotels where this thing happened. And the administration, the president has said that he believes that the Cuban government is involved. There's no question that Havana has failed to fulfill its obligations of protecting American diplomats in Cuba.
And the nature of the problem, as I understand it, is that there's been some sort of sonic phenomenon that has been directed at these individuals, whether they're diplomats or other Americans in the country. And it has been causing damage to their brains, their hearing, their memories, and so on. Is that correct, Frank?
Yeah, what we do know is a number of 20-some American diplomat, I believe also two Canadians, have been injured, and that this is a serious matter, and that the United States has brought out 60% of its diplomatic personnel in Cuba, and that the Cuban government first said that they didn't know what happened, then said that nothing really had happened, that this was simply hysterics from the Americans in an effort to damage relations with Havana.
And Frank, it is damaging relations with Havana, needless to say, not because we wanted it to, but because of the nature of this travesty. There is talk about closing the U.S. embassy in Havana. Do you think that's in the cards? And at the very least, shouldn't we be closing the Cuban embassy here in the United States?
Well, the administration sent back to Cuba the same percentage of Cuban diplomats. The situation now is that definitely Mr. Trump has said that until everybody realizes what the situation is and that measures are taken so that this will not happen to American diplomats in Cuba, they're not going to go back. There is a letter to the president by a number of former diplomats and professors and a group of people that are very concerned about the situation, in which they asked the president to make sure that the situation is resolved, but also they say that until a number of pending matters between the two countries are resolved, that the United States should not send the diplomats back. Some of those issues are, for example, the presence of thousands of military personnel helping Mr. Maduro in Venezuela.
And I wanted to talk to you about that, among several other aspects of Cuban behavior that's very problematic. But just before we leave this, Frank, would you recommend to the President of the United States that he send the rest of the Cuban staff in the embassy here back as well? I mean, shouldn't we be establishing that there are real consequences for this kind of these attacks against American personnel?
Well, I'm sure the president knows a lot more about the details than I do. But the fact remains that if Cuba wants to have normal relations with the United States, then this kind of behavior is not acceptable. The White House has said that they are convinced that the Cuban government, at the very least, could have stopped the attacks.
You've been very diplomatic, Frank, and I appreciate that. Let me turn to the topic that you mentioned a moment ago, what the Cubans are doing outside of their country. We have real reason to be concerned that they are materially contributing to the ongoing repression in Venezuela of the regime of Nicolas Maduro. They're also involved elsewhere in the hemisphere, including, as I understand it, in our own country, in espionage and other kinds of subversive behavior. Characterize, if you would, whether there has been any appreciable amelioration of all of this during the presidency of Raul Castro.
Well, there's no question that while the apologists for the Cuban dictatorship claim that the Cold War ended between Washington and Havana as a result of Mr. Obama's diplomacy, the facts indicate otherwise. The U.S. made many concessions to Havana, but Havana continued all along its anti-American behavior. For example, during the negotiations with the United States, again, under the previous administration, Russian spy ships returned to Havana Harbor. During that time, Havana continued its very active association with North Korea. Havana was caught trying to smuggle warplanes and missiles to North Korea. Mr. Obama's White House said that, well, it did happen. The United Nations put out a report condemning Cuba, but the White House back then didn't feel it was important enough to halt the process. There are many, many different things that continue even to this day. For example, Havana continues to allow terrorists in Havana, Americans that are wanted by the FBI. All those issues were ignored during the Obama administration. They should be part of the agenda of the president. The president has asked the FBI, the Justice Department, to provide him information on the issue of the terrorists that are held in Havana by the Castro government. So it remains, things are going slow. The key people at the State Department that should enforce the new administration's policy are many positions remain to be filled. And unfortunately, personnel is policy. So until the president has people who support his policy in key positions at the State Department, we will have there the same folks that were implementing the previous policy. And I'm sure there's a pushback at the State Department on many of these issues.
It reminds me of nothing so much as Obama's third term, that we have those folks, as you say, Frank Calzone, who are supportive of the previous policy, that in some cases actually were involved in implementing it, of normalizing relations with the Castro regime, and otherwise propping it up. Frank, there's much more to talk about this subject and others that you focus on at the Center for a Free Cuba. We look forward to doing so with you in the near future. Thank you so much for taking time today, and come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Afty. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.